KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. Looking always to improve bike and pedestrian safety in Humboldt County. Today, we are talking with Tony Dang of California Walks. Hello, Tony. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Cliff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Emily, thank you as well, of course.
Yeah, good morning.
Pulling us all together. Good morning. Beautiful day again. We've just been having just stunning weather lately.
Yes, and glad that rain is on the way, so we can appreciate
the
beauty even more right now.
I know. It's kind of got it all going. Just pretty darn nice. Beautiful day today to get out and walk, right, Tony?
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, California Walks. Let's just explain what your organization is.
Yeah, of course. The California Walks is a statewide advocacy organization, and we're dedicated to making communities all across the state healthier, safer, and more walkable for people of all ages and abilities. And so what we work on is legislation as well as policies at our various state agencies, including our state transportation agency, our Department of Transportation, or Caltrans, and our Department of Public Health, to make sure that, you know, walking is integrated into their work and that their policies and funding support walking all across the state.
Now, is it just me, or is walking in general getting more popular? I think more and more people seem to be getting out and doing it a bit more for healthy reasons.
Absolutely. I think that it's funny that, you know, I was at the national conference and everybody there declared it that, you know, walking has now become a thing with everybody with their, you know, Fitbits and their, you know, Java and Up and all this stuff, trying to measure their physical activity. And I think that's great. I think that this is definitely an area where technology has helped to re-elevate the oldest form of transportation and make it fit.
Now, one of your biggest goals, of course, is safety, and there are, unfortunately, far too many pedestrian fatalities every year, and I know that your goal is to work on that.
Yes. Unfortunately, in California, you know, people walking and people biking together make up over a quarter of all traffic fatalities in the state. And, you know, for our organization and many organizations across the state, we view these fatalities as preventable. You know, we can redesign how our roadways look to better account for people, our most vulnerable road users, people walking and people biking. And we can direct our funding and resources to really put in projects to improve safety. So one of the big goals that we're working towards right now is a concept called Vision Zero, which originated in Sweden. And it's basically a concept that agencies can adopt to recognize the fact that crashes are preventable and that, you know, humans can and usually are prone to error. And, you know, the cost of a mistake shouldn't be the loss of life. And so, you know, committing to that vision and aligning policies and funding to get to that vision is kind of what we're pushing for over the coming years.
And this really seems like a simple concept, but it does really involve shifting, to me, kind of the focus of our transportation system from just moving goods and people from point A to point B to really looking at the bigger picture of having safety as, like, the top priority.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's also a much-needed culture shift that needs to happen. And you can even see it reflected in the sort of language that we use nowadays. Because I'll say crashes to describe when somebody gets hit, but most media sources and most people will say an accident. And the problem with using the word accident is that, you know, it kind of implies that no one's at fault. And that's simply not true. You know, somebody is at fault, whether it's the driver the pedestrian, the bicyclist, or the person who designed the roadway. You know, these are not just things that occur magically. You know, they occur as a direct result of the decisions people have made.
Oh yeah, sure, absolutely, and you know, there are obviously lots of cars out there on the road, and you know, a lot of these, you know, fatalities or injuries occur. I'd say probably the vast majority occur when pedestrians or cyclists have to cross the path of motorized traffic. Even with the crosswalks and with the signs, you know, with walk signs and whatnot, it still requires that motorists actually pay attention that there actually may be a pedestrian or a cyclist in their space.
Yes.
And, you know, oftentimes, you know, it's like, you know, one of the more dangerous spots is when drivers are turning left or right, actually, you know, left across the crosswalk or even right, because if they are maybe looking to the left for oncoming traffic, they may not realize that someone to the right of them is crossing the crosswalk. And I've unfortunately seen that happen way too many times.
Yeah, and I think that you bring up a good point that, you know, we as a profession know what the problems are, and we actually know what the solutions are, and a lot of them are very low cost, easy to implement. For example, addressing getting hit while cars are turning, you know, simply banning right turns on red is a very easy solution for the right turns. And then for the left turns, if you do what's known as a, quote, leading pedestrian interval, which is giving pedestrians a head start before cars are allowed to proceed straight or turn, studies have shown that cars are much more likely to yield when somebody walking is already more than halfway across the crosswalk.
And that would happen by delaying their green signal. Is that correct?
Yeah, and honestly, it doesn't cost a local government very much money. You just adjust the signals that already exist there.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, my own son was struck crossing a crosswalk with the light, with the walk sign, with someone making a left turn, because they just really want to make sure they get that left turn in fast, and they just want to beat the traffic, and you know, this person just didn't notice. Luckily, he survived the incident, and you know, is doing well, but he was, you know, quite injured.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that happen, and unfortunately, this happens way too often all across the country. And I think you raise the issue of, you know, pedestrian safety isn't just the engineering improvements; it's the culture change that's needed. So we need that sort of community education as well for all road users, because, you know, I think that a lot of us take a very cavalier attitude to transportation when it really is a matter of life and death a lot of times. And so we all need to be able to step up to the plate and take responsibility for our actions, as well as pursue these design changes with our local government to make it safer. Because, you know, we don't want to discourage people from walking, because walking is a great thing for your health, for socializing with your friends. There's all these benefits to walking. So we need to do both. We need to encourage more people to get out and walk, as well as pursue improvements to make it safer, more comfortable, and more enjoyable to walk.
You know, it's an interesting thing that you mentioned about more people getting out and walking. My son, the one that was hit here in Eureka, lives in New York now, and a lot of people walk in New York. It's a very walking city, and of course, there's lots of cars as well, but tons of people walking, and you know, there is no pedestrian right-of-way law there, and people cross on reds all the time. And I was just like going, people must get hit all the time. They don't, which, it does happen, but it happens much less because there are so many people out walking. It just becomes part of the culture that we know there's going to be people walking all the time.
And I think that goes to the sort of historical roots of our streets. You know, streets, you know, historically have been our public spaces, and you know, people you see all over the street, because you know that's where you would gather. And you know, over the past 50-60 years, that really has shifted, and where cars you know were initially just allowed or tolerated on the street. The paradigm has completely shifted where cars are the dominant feature of our streetscape. And, you know, I would say like 90% of the time our streets are empty and not used. And I think that's a problem, you know, when you know, we have this abundance of basically public space that's only being used 4 hours of the day. That seems very silly to me, and we should really be redesigning our streets to be complete streets that accommodate all sorts of users and that are activated and full of vibrant, thriving life all the time.
Now, aside from your safety goals, you've got several different goals along the way. You've got your short-term goals, you've got 5-year goals, you've got 10-year goals, and more. Let's talk about some of the goals your organization has.
Yeah, so we developed a bunch of goals with over 40 partners from all across the state, from, you know, Redding all the way down to Fresno and San Diego this past fall. And, you know, it was a very long weekend where we worked developing this sort of strategic framework where we have a vision for the state of California with 4 goals that will support getting our state to that vision. And so the goals are, as you said, mentioned, around safety, around investments of state, regional, and local funding to support walking, goals around mode share, which is a really, you know, wonky way of saying, you know, how many people are walking and increasing that number. And then equity goals, because unfortunately, you know, when we look at the statistics and we look at who is being hit, unfortunately, it's people generally in lower-income neighborhoods, people of color, and we want to make sure that we don't repeat the same mistakes as, you know, road building did, where, you know, they kind of destroyed communities through road building. You know, as we're reapproaching how we design our communities, we don't want to do that again. We want to make sure that all Californians are able to walk safely. And so we've developed some equity goals around ensuring that, you know, funding reaches those communities most in need, as well as really reducing that disparity in fatality and serious injury rates among people in low-income communities of color.
Terrific. And how is this being received in the communities that you've been going to?
You know, I think people are very excited about it. And at this stage, what we're doing is we're kind of promoting the framework to get organizational as well as individual endorsements. Because what we want to do when we're in the legislature working on legislation to move on some of these goals, we want to show that there's very broad support all across the state for what we're working towards.
Very good.
And you and California Walks is going to be helping lead some community pedestrian safety trainings coming up soon in Humboldt County. And, you know, this is one of those opportunities to involve more community members. And, you know, people are often a pedestrian at some point, you know, during the day. And I think this is going to be an opportunity for a lot of people to come together and be able to talk about some potential solutions for our community. So what is the plan for those workshops?
Yeah, so we're actually really excited to be coming back to Humboldt. We did a workshop back in 2010, and, you know, Humboldt County has made such amazing progress over the past few years. And you know, we're coming back to try to help a few communities really take it to that next level. And so our program is focused on bringing together community residents as well as those local agencies that are really responsible for our roadways. And together, making sure that everybody has a shared understanding and is speaking that same language around what it will take to make our communities safer and more enjoyable for walking. And together, we'll be developing some actionable next steps to move walkability forward. And I guess to better contextualize it, I'll give an example. So I think maybe like 2 years ago now, we did a workshop in Paradise over in Butte County, and we brought together all the community members and agencies because, unfortunately, they had a high school student hit and killed. And the community really wanted to do something, but they didn't know quite what to do. And so we brought them together, you know, taught them what the best practices are for pedestrian safety, what the sort of engineering treatments are, what the educational strategies are, et cetera, et cetera. And they've really taken off after that workshop. They've been able to secure, I believe, several million dollars in state grant funding. I think it's close to $2 million in state grant funding to implement some of those strategies that we developed during that workshop. And they were also able to basically put what's called a road diet on their main street. And so a road diet is where you take a street that generally is probably too wide. It was kind of designed with just cars in mind. And you remove travel lanes in order to slow down traffic, as well as to be able to implement things like such as bike lanes or sidewalk extensions. So it's really changed the character of that street. And so, you know, we talked about that project during the workshop, and we came up with lots of strategies to address concerns and possible opposition to the project, because, you know, a lot of people just are afraid of change or just are unsure of change, and so it really requires a lot of community outreach and education when you're doing these transformational projects to improve walking and biking in our community.
Fantastic. We are just about out of time. Emily, are there some local things we need to keep our eye on?
Well, we'll definitely have an update as some of these workshops are scheduled in Humboldt County, so we'll certainly have an update about that.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we are going to be speaking with Phil Dow from Mendocino Council of Governments about a new non-motorized transportation and trail project up in Covelo. So kind of speaking about another rural community that saw the need for more safe, you know, infrastructure for walking and biking within their rural community and how they made it happen. And there's a lot of partnerships involved in making that happen in Covelo, as is required here in Humboldt. So that'll be next week. And I really want to thank Tony Dang from California Walks for being on the show and really helping give the perspective of the kind of statewide priorities for improving walking for, you know, everyone of all ages. And, so thank you, Tony.
No, thanks, Emily. Thanks for having me. And I just want to say, you know, congratulations to Humboldt County for really really running with, you know, efforts to improve walkability and bikeability.
You bet.
Yeah, certainly is. We've made a lot of progress in the last few years, and we know there's a lot more movement forward that we can still do.
Absolutely. And, Tony, thanks again for taking the time to talk with us. And Emily, as always, thanks for pulling it all together.
Yeah, thank you, Cliff.
You bet. This conversation on Happy Trails will be podcast. You will find that at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails to you.